35. Caleb. Caleb passed the surviving soldiers on the way to the dropship's hold. They had made it up to the seats ahead of the bridge, were strapped in, and looking sick from Pyro's hard, tight maneuvers. They perked up as he ran by, watching him hit the stairs and drop to the lower deck. A badger. Caleb could hardly believe one of the machines had lasted through the centuries, and he was about to jump out of a perfectly good dropship to pilot one. The fear will be intense, and I hunger. Caleb didn't know how Ishak could hunger again. The level of fear in Eden Rise should have left the Relius satiated for months. I'm never satiated. Caleb crossed the hold to the rear ramp. I'm in position, he said, uncertain if Pyro could hear him on the bridge. Stand by, she replied, her voice crisp through a nearby speaker. Approaching the bush and opening the rear door in 3, 2, 1. A flashing light warned of the ramp's imminent motion. Then a loud clang sounded, and the rear of the craft began to drop. Cold air rushed into the hold, flowing over Caleb's head and rushing down his spine. He shivered as he edged out onto the descending ramp, looking out over the edge until he could see the aircraft carrier and the Jaxcluth behind it, an alien kraken about to wreak havoc on the ship. He would feel better about all of this if the skin still had power. What were the odds he would even survive the fall? We will survive. At least one of them was confident. Caleb dropped to his knees at the edge of the ramp, which came to a stop level with the craft. Wind buffeted his face as he turned around and dropped his legs over the edge, still sliding back until he was gripping the end of the platform in his hands, his legs and body dangling over the chaos below. The dropship slowed a little more, and it shook slightly as the plasma cannons started firing again, this time casting bolts up ahead at the Jaxcluth attacking the Truxton. He couldn't see the shots land, but he had witnessed Pyro's skill with the craft already. He was sure she wasn't missing. Pyro came in lower and slower than Caleb had expected. As she eased the dropship over the bush's aft deck, Caleb gauged his drop to the deck at only 20 meters. He had to time his release right, or he would wind up overshooting and landing in the water, a sitting duck for the Jaxcluth. His body tensed as the deck of the carrier drew even nearer, and then holding fast. Just a few more seconds. Now. Caleb reacted instantly to Ishak's harsh command, his hands releasing the ramp. Then he was falling, dropping in an arc toward the deck of the carrier, far enough forward to avoid the civilians gathered near the stern. He felt the hormones begin pumping through his system, Ishak changing his body chemistry to numb the pain of the landing. The deck was a gray blur under his feet, the stern approaching too quickly. He wasn't going to make it. Yes, you are. Caleb's feet touched down on the deck and he pitched forward, tucking his left shoulder under as he hit the deck, the impact still dislocating his shoulder. He lost all sense of direction as momentum set him rolling across the deck. Thankfully, he lost most feeling, too. He finally slammed into the steel cable taffrail at the edge of the deck, hitting it with the opposite shoulder and adding a broken arm to the damage to his body. Waves of pain shot through him, despite Ishak's best efforts, the crash landing more violent than he had expected. There was no time to linger, no time to nurse his injuries. Caleb forced himself up, stumbling across the deck. Civilians ran toward him, eager to help, and amazed he was still alive, never mind able to stand. They froze when he got to his feet, stopping to stare in amazed surprise. One of the people didn't freeze. He was the only one in a uniform, though he was dressed more like a tech than a soldier in stained blue coveralls.
Wait, you need a doctor.
No time, Caleb said, turning his head. I need the badger.
This is going to hurt.
Caleb's soldier wrenched, a loud pop sounding as it slid back into the socket. Burning pain went up from the area, and he clenched his teeth, taking it in silence. The tech hesitated, unsure what Caleb meant.
Badger, Caleb repeated. Big metal thing, guns for hands.
The tech smiled.
Oh, you just jumped from the dropship.
I know, I was there.
You should be dead.
I'm not that lucky. If you don't mind, I need that damn badger. Now.
It's on the lower deck, but the elevator is lowered. The stairs are that way.
The tech pointed to the carrier's island.
I'll take the shortcut, Caleb replied, already familiar with the layout of the carrier.
This wasn't his first time on board the George H.W. Bush. He had toured the carrier during one of his trips to the city over 200 years ago.
Keep firing at that mass until I get back. Aim for the eyes on the central mass.
He began running away from the civilians toward the carrier's elevator, limping at first as Ishek worked on healing the damage to his muscles.
This will hurt again.
Caleb slowed as his other shoulder spasmed and jerked back into place. He cried out this time, grunting from the pain.
Infant, it hurts me as much as it hurts you.
Caleb doubted that. He was at a full sprint by the time he reached the edge of the elevator, already positioned at the lower deck. He found the emergency access ladder, hurrying to it and expertly sliding down. The deck below wasn't as empty as he thought it would be. Hundreds of civilians were crowded across it, huddled together near the interior bulkhead. His sudden appearance took them by surprise, and he could taste their fear as he breathed in.
Delicious.
It wasn't the time or place, but Caleb couldn't argue. His symbiosis with the advocate gave him the same reaction. A group of civilians came toward him from his flanks as he started scanning the deck for the Badger. They held their rifles awkwardly, unaccustomed to carrying or using the weapons.
Who are you? One of them asked.
An older man in black pants and a white shirt that was stained with sweat, grease, and blood. He had an open cut on his cheek.
Sergeant Caleb Card, Space Force Marines. Ajax's cloth is closing on the ship. I'm going to fight it.
A what? Another of the civilians asked.
Alien, Caleb replied. Where's the Badger?
What's a Badger? A loud clang disrupted them, followed by another. The ship shuddered, and the people up top started to scream, their gunfire intensifying.
Big humanoid mech, guns for hands, Caleb said again.
He could taste the increased intensity of the fear. It was more potent than anything he had sampled since he had bonded with Ishek. They were running out of time. The man nodded.
This way.
He ran past Caleb toward the civilians.
Move aside, move aside!
The people scattered, mothers grabbing their children and lifting them away, wounded men and women hobbling to the side. Their effort revealed the Badger sitting against the back bulkhead on its knees and leaned forward with its hands splayed to the front as if it were bent in prayer. It wasn't. The machine was in its default rest position, aligned to make it easier for the pilot to enter the cockpit in its head.
You need to get these people out of here, Caleb said, approaching the cockpit.
A control pad rested on the side of the large, squarish head, and he tapped on it to activate it. The machine was locked.
And go where? The man asked. We're on a boat.
It's a ship, not a boat, he said, returning his attention to the Badger, quickly entering the access codes he knew.
It took three tries before the heavy faceplate of the machine slid open, revealing the chair behind it. He jumped into the Badger's cockpit, dropping into the chair. He looked back at the man.
Find an interior hatch. I don't care where, but you're all open targets down here.
We aren't here because we want to be. There's no more room. The ship is full, Sergeant.
Caleb stared at the man. Up top, the clanging continued, the sound reverberating on the ceiling above as the Jaxcluth gained the upper deck. The gunfire had lessened somewhat, the shooters succumbing to the monster's attack. He had to hurry, or there wasn't going to be anyone left up there. So many civilians. Why didn't Stacker have more soldiers?
Just do what you can to get everyone out of my way, okay?
The man nodded and hurried back toward the nearest crowd of gawkers.
Back up, he shouted. Back away from the mech!
Caleb snapped his feet into a pair of actuators at the base of the unit and slid his arms into two raised slings that ended in a set of control sticks.
Interesting machine. Horribly inefficient. Tell me something I don't know.
There were 8 buttons at the end of each control stick, 16 in total that controlled every command for the machine. Caleb tapped in a 3-button sequence, and the front faceplate slid open, the interior of the semi-transparent material lighting up with a large heads-up display ahead of the world outside. Another few taps, and the machine came out of its rest position, torso lifting the head up and back. Caleb brought the monster all the way up from a knee, putting Caleb 5 meters above the deck. It had been a long time since he had driven a mech. He took a couple of tentative steps forward, working the actuators cautiously as the muscle memory returned. There was no time for caution. A line of tentacles dropped over the edge of the deck,